Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat, 708 and three quarters, up 3 1/4. September, 712 and a quarter, up 2. Soft July wheat, 584, down 1 1/4. September, 595 and a half, down 1 1/2. July corn, 448 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. September, 443 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. And December, 448, up 4 1/4. July soybeans, 1420 and a half, up 5 1/4. November, 1218 and a half, up 6 1/4. July soybean meal, 468.50, now 60 down 60. July soybean oil, 39.48, up 90. June live cattle, 146.10, up 10. August feeders, 205.85, unchanged. And June lean hogs, 115.97 and a half, and they are unchanged.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Dave, happy Father's Day to you early.
Happy Father's Day early to you as well. Wow, we look at the corn market today, and it is acting just as it did a week ago when there was some hope that we might be putting a bottom in the market off a Friday action. I don't know, do we have any more hope this week than last week?
Oh, no, I think you have less hope because of what USDA's report said on middle of the week. And I think earlier in the week, what hit us so hard on Monday that erased last Friday's fundamental strength was the fact that China came out and said they're going to halt U.S. corn DDG imports. And that certainly, I think, took away a lot of last Friday's bullishness. Now, I would like to think that, especially given the fact that the July corn is once again struggling against the December to maintain a premium or maintain that inversion in the July D's corn spread, that probably what we're seeing here in the corn market is more of a short-term weather issue, with some people starting to look at the GFS model and noticing that Des Moines, Iowa is looking at 6 inches of rain and Cedar Rapids is looking at 4.5 inches of rain between Sunday and Wednesday. And I think that's probably gotten the trade a little bit more nervous and wanting to short to cover their shorts in the corn. But with wheat still going down and needing the bottom in the wheat first, I think this is where this is a short-term issue and a short-term play unless we see the spread and the wheat, especially the hard red wheat, come back around and stimulate some buy signals.
So it is a futures market after all, and we have a quarterly grain stock report and a acreage report on the June 30th. Does 435 hold going into that report or not?
I think you're set up now. Since I didn't get what I wanted out of the USDA from a wheat perspective, Dave, and they essentially took 1 million bushels off of production on a lower hard red wheat crop, but then they threw 55 million more bushels of supply and increased old crop and reduced exports and actually gave us a carryover increase versus May's report. And we did not get anything close to the 2010 June report that I was hoping for. I could see now where the wheat continues to struggle and continues to push the corn down and keep it sideways to lower. I think the biggest number on the report that, you know, really, like you say, is a futures market, but I don't think the trade was expecting at all, was that the WAOB came in with total grain stocks, wheat and coarse grains, at 401 million tons. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest since 2001. I don't think we've probably factored that in. And so my take on this market now is that going into the acreage and stocks report, going into the end of the second quarter, the shorts press as hard as they can. But by the time we get to that stocks and acreage report, unless we feed the bear when we come back at and into the July 4th holiday, we've probably got set up a very major cycle low in corn and most likely wheat as well.
Let's look at the soybeans. Now that the roll is over and the bear spreading is done, to what degree will we see any bull spreading heading into the end of the month?
Well, I think this is where it goes back to the second of the three features that really took the trade and contained the trade and pushed it lower. We talked about the DDGs mm-hmm. from China. We talked about USDA. The third issue is China's shadow banking system, creating a sense of oversupply fears in the trade, and that started in the metals. Copper's down about 6% since the end of May. It's starting to move over into the soy complex and the soy meal in particular, and I think this is where the soy meal is correcting to the soybean oil. As long as I see that, I can't get eager to buy into the bean complex. Doesn't change the cash fundamentals unless we find out conclusively that China is oversupplied on beans and therefore meal prices are too lofty. But, you know, given the USDA report, the cash meal market still looks as firm, if not firmer, going into the middle of August, early September, before we bring on new crop beans, because we're not getting the imports we need. We're pushing out too many exports, and the USDA acknowledged that on their report. So bear spreading in the beans is likely to continue as long as the meal loses to bean oil, and I think that continues until the trade gets conclusive evidence that the Chinese shadow banking system and their letters of credit to be able to use in real estate and utilize that money for property markets and such is conclusively said, okay, that's not hurting our supply-demand balance sheet.
A couple of things that caught my eye off of the WASDE report that might have some play in it. Number one, ending stocks for U.S. soybeans are 125 million bushels. I don't know how many people in the trade really believe the number is that high, especially given that it's becoming more unlikely that we're going to hit a target of 90 million bushels import. We're about at 30 and change. There's a lot of people thinking that we're not going to see as many as 90 bushels. I'm really beginning to wonder if the end of the month quarterly grain stock report might give us something to feed the bull.
And it might, and I think that's something to be watchful of. I think this is where the sentiment that I have and the cycle low that I'm building up in the corn and wheat after the acreage and stocks report comes out fits in nicely with that, because I think one of the things that we'll try and price in the trade at this stage of the game is a bigger bean acreage number. I don't participate in that mindset. Maybe Informa's numbers today will give us a mm-hmm. little bit more light on where the trade is trading. After we see the numbers, what does the trade do in terms of price action? But I think the trade is, generally speaking, getting more nervous that bean acres are going up, and they're probably going to try and price that in before they get to the acreage report proper. And I think this goes in line with the idea that if the spreads continue to weaken and meal continues to lose to oil, the futures market could divorce itself from the cash fundamentals that you bring up. That would not be surprising to me, given that the corn and wheat have already divorced themselves from the cash fundamentals several months back, and we're starting to see this separation get worse and worse. I mean, if you look at an ethanol unleaded spread right now, you're seeing lead month ethanol about 95.5 cents discount to lead month unleaded gas. You're talking about extremely good demand coming in the summertime in the market, unless we see Iraq lead the crude oil prices sharply higher, and that translates into really a sharp increase in pump prices. But you've got a really nice export market, you've got a really nice feed market, you've got a really nice ethanol domestic market for the corn, yet the trade continues to play off the wheat and play off the future sentiment.
Well, about 45 seconds left. So what is a producer to do who hasn't done a lot in soybeans? Do they look at 1206 and if that number is invaded on a downward closing basis, pull some triggers and hedges?
Yeah, you do, and you do it all on paper for the most part. Otherwise, you do it on hedge to arrives and leave your basis open. I'm not real impressed with most of the basis in new crop, hearing 30, 35 under. That does not impress me given how tight our old crop stocks are, Dave, and especially if you can get some early new crop beans off. I think The other thing you want to keep in mind is the idea of the outside markets and what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. That situation has not improved, and yet we continue to take more risk premium out of the wheat, and USDA raised the Ukrainian corn production in their report. That was probably the biggest shocker to me, was that they did that given the situation over there. So I think the livestock feeder needs to really be active here and wake up to getting his feed needs locked in, especially in the corn market.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.